If you have your Bibles with you, which I hope you do, since it's Bible study, having a Bible would be a good idea. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. And we're going to start there. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. It says, this is Jesus talking, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Amen. And then go to James chapter 1. Just one verse here. It's verse 17. It says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." And then the Gospel of John, chapter 16. I'm sorry, no, John 14, my bad. verses 12 through 14, it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Son may be glorified, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So I said it's a gift. And it is a gift. All we have to do is ask for it.
John 14, 12.
And Jesus is talking to his disciples at the beginning of John 14, around verse 8, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." And he said, "Have you not been with me all this time?" He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He said, "The things that I have done, I've only done the things that I've seen my Father do." And then in John 16, he says, "It's good for you that I go away. Because if I go away, then I can send the Helper. But if I don't go away, then the Helper is not going to come." He said, "I've got a gift for you, but in order for me to give you the gift, I've got to go away." And so, the gift is freely given. All we have to do is ask. We saw that in Matthew 7. It says, "Ask, and it shall be given." And I always thought, okay, ask and it shall be given, God. So I'm asking you for the gift, and you've given me the gift. But what good is the gift if I don't use the gift? In Hosea, it says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And so he's given us the gift of this book. He's given us the gift of his Holy Spirit. And all we have to do, if we want to walk in that, we have to get this book inside of us. And then we have to ask. And the book of James, it says, "You have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask in vain for your own personal pleasures. You ask amiss because you're just asking because you want to show off. You're asking because you want to say, oh, look at me. I'm able to do this and I'm able to do that." But he said, if you ask earnestly and with a pure heart, I have a free gift for you. You know, I have two children, and for the most part, as long as I know it's not something that's going to harm them or something that's, you know, bad for them, if they ask for anything that's in my house, I'll freely give it to them, because if I have it, they have it. They don't have to ask permission to go in the refrigerator and make a sandwich. If you're hungry, you know where it's at. It's your father's. Your father and your mother have worked and paid for it. If it's mine, it's yours. All you got to do is go in there and make it. The Bible says in James that faith without works is dead. So I said the effectiveness of the gift is dependent upon you using it. So the Bible says that these signs will follow those who believe in me. They will speak in other tongues. They will cast out demons. It says they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So if I have the faith that I have the gift to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, but if I never use that gift, if I never lay my hands on any sick, if I never step out in faith, then my faith is dead, because I'm not working in the faith that I claim to have. It's a gift. But, you know, I love giving gifts. That's probably like how I express how I feel about people. My wife's always like, oh, you don't have to get me this. No, I do, because I know how hard you work and you're a good mom and I want you to have things. It would really hurt my feelings if I got her a gift and she didn't use it. If I got her a perfume and she never wore it, or if I bought her a pair of shoes, and trust me, Sophie has seen the shoes that I buy her, they're not cheap. So if I bought her a pair of shoes and she didn't wear them, it would hurt my feelings. How do you think the Father feels when he said, I've got this free gift for you, and all you have to do is ask for it? And then we ask for the gift, but we don't ever lay hands on the sick. We don't ever step out in faith. We don't ever say, Lord, you know, for a long time I wanted to speak in tongues, and I don't want it to be that coached, like the first time I spoke in tongues where somebody told me to say hallelujah, 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 until I got tongue-tied and I didn't know if I was really speaking in tongues or if I was just so tongue-tied and my words were getting crossed. And I remember, like, I had begged, not begged, but I was like, God, like, you know, I'm not going to say that I didn't think I didn't have the Holy Spirit, but the Bible says that these signs will follow those who believe in me. And I've seen, you know, I've laid hands on my children, and I've seen them get better. I've seen them, their fears be calmed and everything like that. I was like, okay, we'll check that off the mark. I haven't come in contact with any demons, but I have faith that the same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave lives in me. So if I had to come in contact with demons, I've got enough, I believe, Holy Spirit and anointing in me and enough of this word in me that I would be able to do that. But I was like, I really wanted to speak in tongues, and I really wanted it to feel genuine. And I remember this was like, me and Emily had just went through a really, really rough patch in our marriage. I'd quit being on the praise and worship team. I had moved to Virginia, and then I was working out of town in Savannah, and I was coming home like every weekend. And I remember I was on the way back to, it was when I used to go home back to Savannah on Sundays. And I'd come to church. We'd had a good service. We'd, you know, went out to dinner afterwards, and I was leaving to go back, and I was just, I was driving an old car, so it didn't have Bluetooth in it. So I had my AirPods in, and I was listening to an Elevation Worship song on my phone. And I tell you, right there in that moment, there wasn't nobody coaching me or anything like that, but I felt the presence of God, and I just started praising. And in the middle of me praising, I mean, it was for like a solid 20 minutes. Every time I would try to break out in English, it was like, you said you wanted it, you got it. And I mean, I was just crying. I'm like, by the time I got done, I was like, people were probably looking at me like I was crazy driving down 441. But I mean, the Holy Spirit just arrested me in that moment. And I couldn't be quiet. I couldn't speak English. I couldn't stop crying. But it was a gift. It was a gift that I had been asking for. And in the very moment when I wasn't asking for it because I wanted to really be a Christian, or because I wanted other people to say, look at him, look how sanctified he is. When it was in a moment of, I was just in a moment of worship. There was nobody around. It was just me and the road and the Holy Spirit. And it fell right on me right there in that car. Then I realized, okay, God, You are a good gift giver. You give good gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. But you want me to ask you with a pure heart, not have ulterior motives, not have a, well, I want to speak in tongues so whenever I'm my pastor, he thinks, oh yeah, my son-in-law, he sings praise and worship, he's really saved. No, I want to be able to do it so when I pray, and there's something specific I want to pray about, but I don't want the enemy to know what I'm praying about, that the Holy Spirit can take over. The Bible says in Romans 8, like 21, it says, we don't always know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit, through groanings and grumblings, will pray for us. And that's a gift. That's part of the gift. In James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift. So I started thinking about good and perfect. So go to Philippians 4. Like I said, this literally came to me about an hour before church, so I'm fumbling around a little bit, so I'm sorry it's not perfectly polished. But verses 8 and 9, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. It said, whatever things are true and lovely and good and perfect and praiseworthy. Sometimes we spend so much time focusing on the negative, focusing on that bill that we gotta pay, focusing on that, well, mom and them had this, and this, and I'm getting to the age where they got this, and this, so I'm probably gonna have this, and this. And you spend so much time that instead of being able to walk in the gifts and walk freely, you're bound up in fear, you're bound up in worry, you're bound up in, well, what if it happens to me? You get, the enemy will take something that hasn't even happened and will get you so out of whack and so upside down and so upset that you forget that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that your God and your Father is the giver of good gifts, the giver of perfect gifts. That's why Paul's urging the church, in the Philippian church, whatever is good, whatever is virtuous, whatever of good report, whatever is praiseworthy, those things think on. Yeah, I think of Joseph, and he named one of his son, I believe it was Ephraim, it said, I've forgotten about my past. God has made me forget. And it wasn't that he forgot that it happened. It wasn't forgot that he forgot about everything that he went through. It was that God shifted his focus from all the turmoil that he had been through, all the things he had been through, and he put his eyes on, yeah, I went through this, but I'm the second in command in Egypt now. If anybody wants anything, they've got to come to me. If anybody needs anything, if anybody wants to get to Pharaoh, I'm the last line of defense that they have to go through before they get there. And I started off in a pit, then I started off scrubbing floors, then I was in a prison unlawfully, but God has made me forget those things because that's my past. Those aren't the things that I'm going through anymore. I'm walking in a new light. I'm walking in a new role. I'm walking in a new position. And when we become Christians and we start to put this word in us, the enemy will try to remind us of the past things. Well, remember, you used to say these words. And remember, you know, now you know, you used to do this and you used to do that. And if you go over there around these people and they see you not doing that, they're going to talk about you and say, he thinks he's better than us now. He thinks he's not this anymore. Or you go and you slip up in front of somebody and you do something that you shouldn't do and you say that you're a Christian. But, well, I knew he was a hypocrite because I saw him and he drank a beer. I saw him and he was somewhere he didn't need to be. And the enemy will try to take that and try to separate you. But my Bible tells me that there's nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ. And it's a gift. You know, I think about God. Whenever the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. God knew in all his infinite wisdom when he created earth and he created man and he created woman and all these great things, he knew that Jesus Christ was going to have to be. And he did it anyways. He knew that he was going to have to give his son as a gift, the ultimate sacrifice, and he did it anyway. And the Bible tells us, he said, won't your heavenly Father give you so much better gifts than bread and fish and, you know, all that stuff? All you got to do is ask. And I feel like sometimes we think that, well, that's not a big enough thing that I need to ask God about. That's not a big enough thing. But Paul said, in all things with prayer and thanksgiving, make your petition known to the Lord. He didn't say, in all the big things, and all the ginormous things, and all the things that you think are God-worthy. It said, in all things, make your petition known to the Lord with prayer and supplication. And I think sometimes we think, well, you know, what if I'm annoying God? You can't annoy him. He gave his son for us. You think he would give us his son so that we could just keep trying to do stuff on our own all the time? The Bible says in 1 Timothy, it says that there's one God and that there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And so not only was he the gift that he shed his blood for us, but also he's my mediator. So whenever I pray, he's mediating between me and God, the prayers that I send up. So you don't think that God's concerned? You don't think that God wants to know what's going on? You don't think that he wants to get involved? He's not just going to insert himself. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not just going to jump on you because he feels like it. But it says if you ask, he said, I'll freely give it to you. I know in one version of that, it says, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask for it? And Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. He said, whatever you ask, he said, I will do it so that the Father might be glorified. But we spend so much time asking for stuff that's going to glorify ourselves. God, give me $1 million. God, give me a new car. God, give me a new house. Then when we get it, we fall more in love with the gift than we are in love with the gift giver. You know, I think about that a lot of times. It's like, not my unanswered prayers, but my prayers that have been no, that I felt that I'm not, okay, the answer is no, or maybe the answer is not right now. I think a lot of times like, well, God, am I not getting it because you know if you give me that I'm going to think that it was the gift that you gave me and not the one who gave the gift, that I'm going to spend more time adoring the gift and adoring and worshiping the gift than I am going to be dependent on the gift giver, the one who gave me the gift. And is that why sometimes he says no? Because he knows if he says yes, then we'll think, okay, that gift is what I wanted. That gift is what I needed. And so I don't really need you anymore, God. You've given me the thing that I've asked for. And so I'm going to worship that. And I'm going to use that. That becomes your God instead of your gift. Paul says, my favorite Bible verse, one of my favorite Bible verses, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. He's like, I labored more than all of them. He said, but it wasn't me. It was the grace of God that was with me. His grace is a gift. He gives us that grace. The Bible says to everyone is given a measure of grace. And so he gives us his grace. And I'm thankful for the grace of God, and I'm thankful for the favor of God, and I'm thankful for all that stuff. But more than anything, I'm thankful for him, the gift of salvation. And I mean, I know I'll sound like a broken record. I've said this a million times, but when I got saved, I was glad that I was saved. I was glad that I'm redeemed from my past, but that was not enough. I wanted everything that he had for me. I wanted the Holy Spirit. I wanted to speak in tongues. I wanted if I got to lay hands and cast out 100 demons. Like, God, you said that the works that we've seen you do and greater works we will do because you go and you send the Comforter. You're sending the Helper. You're sending the Holy Spirit. So it perturbs me and it annoys me when I hear certain denominations say that, well, that was for that time. No, well, then why would he send the Holy Spirit if it was just for then? The Holy Spirit, you think God's just up in heaven and the Holy Spirit's up in heaven just hanging out and say, well, you know, when the last apostle in the Bible died, then, you know, the Holy Spirit's just chilling out in heaven and God's just, I'm saving you and that's it. I'm not doing any more miracles. I'm not, you know, giving any more spiritual gifts. So you just stay saved and then we'll just keep doing what we do. And then when I'm ready to call you home, I'll call you home. No. He intended for us to walk up to people and lay hands on them, see them recovered. He intended for us to give prophecy. Paul said, he's like, all these gifts are great. He said, but the gift that you should pray for the most is to prophesy. He said, out of all these things, speaking in tongues is great. Words of knowledge are great. And all these things are great. He said, but pray that you prophesy. Because prophecy gives insight into things that are to come. And I think that we get so hung up on, prophecy's got to be that I'm going to be a millionaire next month. Or, you know, I got to go and I got to pay and then they'll tell me something. That's not prophecy. That's hallelujah for hire. That's not prophecy. I heard a minister say this one time. He said that we have prostituted the prophet of God, that we think that, oh, I go up here and I write them a check and then they give me a word, then that's supposed to be. No, prophecy is a gift. It's a gift that's supposed to encourage the whole body or encourage the person that you're giving the prophecy to. In the Bible, the prophet either came to declare judgment or to declare blessing. He didn't come to say, well, sister so-and-so, if you give me $50, you're going to get a brand new Cadillac in your driveway next week. That's just not what it is. But we have so many people that have twisted the word of God, that have perverted the word of God, that have made millions of dollars by getting on TV and saying, I tell you right now, you buy this bottle of water and you pour it on your bills, everything's going to be okay. And that's just not what it is. It's not hocus pocus. It's not Harry Potter. It's not magic. It's a gift. And we have to use the gift in the right way. I love superhero movies. My boys have seen all the Spider-Man, all the Avengers, and everything like that. But there's one quote, and it's like the first Spider-Man movie, it says, with great power comes great responsibility. And I believe that I'm smart enough that if I walked up to a vending machine and it had an out of order sign on it, I wouldn't keep trying to put a dollar in, wondering why I'm spitting it out, or I wouldn't keep trying to swipe my card and wondering why it's not taking it. It clearly says it's out of order. So sometimes we're not in order. So when we ask for certain gifts, God's like, why would I put an investment in you when you're out of order, when you don't have it together? Why would I give you power because you're not responsible enough? You can't use it. You won't use it in the right way. I remember the seven sons of Sceva, they were just saw Paul do it. They were like, in the name of the God that Paul believes in, they said, well, Paul we know and Jesus we know, but you we don't know. And they beat him, stripped him naked and beat him. God said, I'm not going to give you something that you're not ready for. I'm not going to give you a gift that you're not equipped to use. And when I give you this gift, you seek me. And I will show you how to use it. I will give you discernment. I will put you in position to where you can use the gift. And it's not going to be to glorify yourself. And it's not going to be to make a name for yourself. It's not going to be to have a 20,000 person church. It's going to be for the Father to get glorified. Even Jesus himself said, so that the Father might be glorified. The gift is to glorify God. The gift is to make sure that he gets the glory. The Bible says that all the earth is the Lord's, and all the earth is full of his glory. We're waiting for the glory to come down, but it says the earth is full of his glory. We're supposed to be giving the glory back to him and the honor back to him and putting eyes back on him. I was telling the guys at the jail, I said, I don't come here so that I can get a gold star on my Christian report card in heaven. I don't come here so that God can look down and say, well, yeah, Tim was here doing jail ministry, check off, preach to the ones in the prison, and doing to the least of these. No, I come here to point you to him because he's given me this gift, and he's put this calling on my life. And it's not to go and, you know, be the most popular or be, you know, the most talked about and sell the most books, which there's nothing wrong with writing books. I think if you got a good Christian book, you should definitely write a book. I'm not saying that speaking anything against that, but it's to point to Him. At the end of the day, we should, everything that we do in His name should point back to Him. And that's what, when Paul was telling in Philippians, when he was saying, he's like, we could go resume for resume, and I promise you that my resume in the natural will blow yours out the water. He said, but all that I count as loss. All that I count as rubbish. He said, I want to know Him more. I want to know the Him in the power of His resurrection. He said, I press towards the mark, which is the high calling of God. He said, it's not so people will follow Paul. It's not so I can go and say, look, Jesus, there's all these people following me. It's so I can say, look to Him. Look to Him. And it's a free gift. And all we have to do is ask. You know, I am very, very, very self-reliant. And I'm sure Sophie can tell you, like, I don't like asking people for help. And she'll be like, if you need anything, just ask me. I hate asking people for help. Even though I know if I asked certain people for help, it wouldn't be something that they hold over my head. It wouldn't be something that they said, well, remember, you, I helped you that one time. I need you to come help me. It wouldn't be that. But I've just had that happen to me so many times from people that I love, people that I thought, oh, you're helping me because you love me. And then I turn around and it's, oh, well, remember back in 1999? No, I don't remember in 1999. I was 11 years old. I don't remember that. Remember I did this for you? No, you should have done that for me. I was a child. Yeah. You know, remember? And so I have a hard time asking. And that's one thing that, like, growing deeper with God is because I realize I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the tools in my own strength to do stuff. The Bible says, and Paul had to learn this the hard way because he was smart as a whip. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Like, he studied under Gamaliel, who was like the top dog in the Pharisee realm. But he said, he had a thorn in his side. He went to God three times. And he said, my grace is sufficient. Because in your weakness, that's what I'm made strong. So, oh, I'm not supposed to have all the answers. Because the gift is your strength. That you don't always need me to be strong. Like, you need me to be weak so that you can be God. So that you can do what you need to do. Because if I was always strong, if I always had it together, if I always knew the right answer, why would I need a God? I would just look to myself. So the gift is, He fills in my gaps. He fills in the places where I'm not strong. He fills in the places where I have to ask for help. Because what He said the Holy Spirit was, the helper. I don't always know what to pray. I don't always know, a lot of times, I don't always know what I'm going to preach on. And I pray about it. And I tell you, sometimes I've come down to like the 11th hour and I'm like, God, I'm going in here and I'm just saying, I'm just going to sing 12 songs and that's going to be church. And on the ride to church, He'll give me the message. And I will have to come sing praise and worship practice and I'll have to go back there and write frantically. Or, you know, I mean, just keep it real with you. Like, it's not always that. Sometimes I've just been so busy that week with kids and with work and with other stuff that it's Saturday night and I sit down and I'm like, God, me and You, Holy Spirit and Jesus, I need the Trinity. I need all three. I need a gift. I need a gift. And, you know, He's giving me some alley-oops. I can't even lie. Some of my best messages have been ones that have been in the spur of the moment. But also it's because of the other times when I have been ready, when I have been prepared, and I have put the word in. So when He sparks a word, like when I was on the way to church or on the way home today, I had something totally different planned, but He sparked this a gift, and I was like, oh, okay, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and I already knew some scriptures in my mind, and so when I got here about 10 minutes before everybody else got here, I was able to write everything down. It's a gift. But I don't like that. I like to be in control. I like to have it all together. It's funny, and I don't know if you've ever preached before. I preach my message in my head all week, and I'm like, this is the part where I need to get real into it, and this is the part where there should be an amen here, and there should be a clap here, and you know. And then when it don't go in real person the way I had it in my mind, I get a little bit in self and get disappointed, and I'm like, well, Lord, did I point them to you? As long as I pointed them to you, it don't matter if nobody said amen, don't matter if nobody clapped, it don't matter if I got no hallelujahs, as long as you were glorified. But you know, it's a gift. And sometimes, like, it's hard because you do put in a lot of time and you do put in a lot of effort, and that word is like hitting you in all the right spots all week while you're putting in the time. And then you get here and you're preaching to rest and blessed face the whole time that you're preaching, and it's tough sometimes. But that's when I'm like, all right, Lord, it's got to be you. It can't be me. It's got to be your gift. I need the Holy Spirit to take over. And it's a gift. And all we have to do is ask and be humble when we ask and say, God, I'm asking for the right reasons. Right. You know, David prayed in Psalms. He said, search me. He said, and try me and lead me. And that, I felt like sometimes we don't pray search me, because a lot of times we pray search me, God will show us, yeah. And we'll be like, oh, I don't like that. I don't like that. It's like when you put on that shirt that don't look good on you, and you see yourself in the mirror and you're like, that ain't my color. Sometimes when he searches us and he shows us, but that ain't me. Yeah, that's you. That's you. We have this, you know, I say it all the time, like, I'll have a thought and I'll be like, God, that ain't me. Yeah, that's you. That's you. Everything ain't the devil. Everything is not the devil. And I'm like, okay, all right, Lord, you keep searching me. Keep searching me. I know I'm never going to be perfect. I just want to be better.
That's right.
I just want to be better. I want to be better today than I was yesterday. And the things in yesterday, I don't want to bring them with me today if they're not of you and they're not from you. But I also know the Bible tells me all I got to do is ask. And ask humbly. And ask with a pure heart. You know, I think that's one thing that we forget. And I'll close with this. The woman with the alabaster box, when she fell at Jesus' feet, she was a sinner. But when she fell down and anointed him and broke the alabaster box, she did it from a pure place. And that's why he said, she's done more than all of you who are so-called righteous people. You know, Judas, he said, that was a year's wages. We could have sold that and given the money to the poor. And Jesus chastised him and said, nah, he's like, you don't even know what she's doing right now. You don't even know the blessing that she's giving me right now. You don't even know what she's, you have no idea what she's doing right now. We got to be careful how we look at somebody else's praise, how we look at somebody else's, what they're doing. We might know their past, but it's not to me to judge their past. It's not to me to say who does and who does not get into heaven. It's not to me to say who's worthy and who is not worthy. It comes from the Father of light, the one who gives every good and perfect gift. He's the one who determines it, not me. It's my job and it's your job. When we have this gift of salvation, we have this gift of the Holy Spirit, we have this gift of knowing the Word, it's not for me to go around and take my Bible and use it like a sledgehammer and beat people on the head with it. Jesus said, he said, when I'm lifted up out of this earth, then I'll draw all men unto me. So not only when he was physically lifted up out of this earth, but it's up to us to lift his name up in this earth. It's up to us to point people towards him. Because if not, if we just go around, and I tell you, when I go in Athens, I love those street preachers, but they are not out there preaching the right message. They are screaming and yelling and hooting and hollering at these people, and that's not how Jesus would have done it. That is not, he wouldn't have embarrassed them. He wouldn't have told them that they were all sinners and they were going to hell. He wouldn't have told them that. He would have told them about themselves. He would have told them the truth, but he would have done it in the Jesus way. And that's what turns people off a lot. Is that, oh, I got this gift, I got the Holy Spirit, I'm a soldier in the army of God, and we go out there and think we're actually supposed to go out there and be beating people up. No, we're supposed to be beating up the enemy. We're supposed to be casting out devils. We're supposed to be going into dark places and being the light, not going in and being judge, jury, and executioner. That's not who we're supposed to be. And we wonder why sometimes we don't have the gifts that we've asked for, because we're not mature enough, and we're not ready enough, and we're not responsible enough to use the gift. So that's my prayer, that God, give me what I'm ready for. And then when you've taught me how to use that gift, and when you trust me with that gift, then give me the next thing. Don't give it to me all at once, because I'd be like a 15-year-old with keys to a Lamborghini. I would go and wreck shop. But give it to me when it's appropriate for me to have it. I wouldn't go and give my 9 and my 10-year-old a loaded gun and say, go out in the woods and hunt. That would be irresponsible. And just like I know better than to do that, God knows better and what's best for us. If you're tuning in and you're watching this later on, man, there's so many gifts that Jesus has. There's so many gifts that God has for us. And the Bible says that if we ask, it shall be given. If we seek, it we'll find. If we knock, that the door will be open. But He's not going to give us more than we're ready for. So if you're asking for a big, big gift from God, you have to be ready to receive it. You have to be mature enough to receive it. And the way to get that maturity is to get in this word, to fast and to pray and to let Him search you, let Him try you, and then be led by Him. I promise you, He will not lead you astray. He said He would never leave you and that He would never forsake you. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you Sunday. Have a blessed day. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Be blessed.